are you today? Hope everyone's doing good on this Monday. Boy, oh boy, what a weekend it was. Woo. There's so much to go over. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get into everything, but we are going to cover all of the important things. That being, well, we had the Masters on Sunday, Masters Sunday. Texas Motor Speedway put out a lot better product than we originally anticipated. Also, the NBA season has come to an end. I have a little bit of an update on their attendance and their ratings and TV and all of that stuff. Now that the season is over and we're heading to the playoffs, we can look back and see if the year was a success. Well, we have some numbers for you. We will talk about that as well. The NHL playoffs are winding down. The Carolina Hurricanes had a few things break their way. They are 1 point behind the New York Rangers for the top spot in the Metropolitan Division and the top spot in the NHL. We'll talk about that as well. One of those two teams is going to be in action today. Also, Major League Baseball news as we get to Jackie Robinson Day, that being today. If you're watching baseball today, and I'm not talking about local baseball, the MLB. If you're watching the MLB today and you notice, why does everybody have the exact same number? Well, that's because it is Jackie Robinson Day, and as the MLB does on Jackie Robinson Day, everybody will be wearing the number 42. It's a wonderful day in baseball, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be tuned into this one. Boston and Cleveland have already played a game today. That one ending 6-0 in favor. I'm sorry. Yeah, Cleveland. Boston and Cleveland. The Guardians. They changed their names. You got to remember that. They're no longer the Cleveland Indians. They are the Cleveland Guardians. That was a few years ago, but you know how it is with name changes. Speaking of name changes, we are going to have another franchise relocate. This one in the NHL. The Arizona experiment has failed at least round one. You might be wondering what I mean by that. Round one. Well, I got some information for you on that as well. Like I said, it is a busy, action-packed day here. The WNBA draft is today as well. Some big names at the top of that draft. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. You know, those aren't the other two, or the only two, I should say. Plenty of people who you will recognize, I should say. Angel Reese, Aaliyah Edwards, Camila Cardoso. You should recognize these people. Cardoso playing for South Carolina, that undefeated team that just won a championship. This is big. It's a big day for women's basketball. I'm excited. I don't know about you guys. I am very excited for this because it was a wonderful 2 years in college basketball with some of these players who have become stars. And now they're heading to the WNBA where they're going to try to make it a top sport. We'll see what happens. So we got the draft tonight. The future of the WNBA will change forever tonight. I can guarantee you that. We're going to get back to all of the high school or all of the college and the pro stuff a little bit later in the program. Right now, we got to get to high school baseball. And later today, we're also going to update you on high school lacrosse. Yes, men's lacrosse. There are a lot of really good teams in the area in lacrosse. And I know we talked about it the other day, last week, but they're getting better. And their rankings are improving. And it's exciting. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that as well. Starting with baseball, man, Lake Norman. Tough start to the year. 4-1. And then we glorified that turnaround that they had after they started 4-1, where they went 9 wins in a row. As I dropped my pencil. Well, after that 9-win winning streak, Lake Norman has not fared very well. They have dropped their last 5 games now as Saturday, their most recent game, they lost 3-0 to Providence. And this is kind of a free fall right now. Lake Norman is a good team. They are good, and they've proven that throughout the season. They have a lot of good players over there. They can't win the close games, it seems. Most of their wins are by a good margin. They do have a few two-run, one-run wins in there. But most of their losses, one-run deficit, two-run deficit, they've yet to really get blown out of the water, except for the first game of the season when they lost 11-1. Other than that, they've been competitive. They're just getting some bad breaks here and there, and well, when that happens, there's not much you can do other than try to win the games that are remaining on the schedule, and I'll tell you what, there's not many of them. Two games against Hickory Ridge, two games against Mooresville, one game against East Rowan, and that's it for Lake Norman. So their run to the end of the year is going to start tomorrow with their first of two games against Hickory Ridge. It will be at home. One thing you got to keep in mind, Hickory Ridge is a good baseball team. Currently 10-7 on the year, 81st in the state of North Carolina, too. So this is going to be a tough game for Lake Norman, but they win this one, they put themselves right back in the race. They're there. They just got to get it done in this final few weeks of the season. One team that's probably not going to get it done, and it is unfortunate, is Mooresville High School. Now, they've done okay in the past six games playing 500 baseball, but they had such a rough start to the year. I think they were 1-14, or maybe not even that bad. 1-12, 1-11 before they went on this 50 or 500 winning streak, losing streak, I'll call it. I don't really know. They're playing 500 baseball over the past few days. It's just too little too late. There's not enough games left in the season for them to overcome this deficit that they dug. 4-15. Sorry, but that's not going to get you into the playoffs. I don't care how many games in a row you win at the end of the year. So they have five games left on the season as well. Two against South Iredell, and then the last two are going to be against Lake Norman. But before they play those, tonight they take on Lake Norman Charter. That is a home game right around 7 o'clock. It'll be today. So keep your eyes on that one. Mooresville just looking for some good wins to end the season. And that's really all they can do. We're going to continue the high school baseball talk. We're going to get into lacrosse, I promise. And then we're going to start getting into some of these news stories from the weekend, from today, looking into tonight. There's a lot going on. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Scoreboard. By the way, 844-STUDIO-4. That is the phone number. If you want to call me up, we can chat. Anything you want to talk about right here on The Scoreboard. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, welcome back. It is segment number two here on The Scoreboard. 844-STUDIO-4 is the phone number. It'll get you on the program. We'll chat. I don't have anything specific I want you to call me about. I'm just saying, if you want to chat, we're here for you. 844-STUDIO-4. We've been talking about high school baseball. Mooresville looking to turn their season around. Maybe not turn it around, but get a win. And that's what Statesville High School is going to be looking to do. We talked about it on Friday. They haven't won a game in a few years. Been a while. It has been a long time since Statesville High School has won a baseball game. I believe we said 2018. Anyway, on Friday, they lost 16-0 to East Lincoln, another mercy game for them. That's the second time it's happened to them in the past two games. Rough. Very rough. Next game for them is going to be against West Iredell. That game is tomorrow. Now, West Iredell is a team that they had a chance to turn things around a little bit earlier in the year. They were hovering right at 500, but then they went ahead and lost five consecutive games. That kind of took them out of contention. Statesville's been out of contention, and there's really no way to sugarcoat it. They've been a pretty bad team all year, getting blown out multiple times. It just hasn't been a good baseball season for Statesville. And we talked about their basketball season quite a bit. They were surprisingly good. You know, they started out terribly with those three games in a month and a half. Boy, that was bad. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the year, they said, hey, if we win, we make it. And they won, and they made it into the playoffs. Weren't able to do anything, but at least they're winning some games over there at the basketball team. The baseball team, wish I could tell you the same thing, but they are currently 0-9 on the season. Next up is North Iredell High School. Their team, just like West Iredell, that had a chance to turn things around. They were hovering at 500, and I was like, come on, win a few games, get like three games above 500, and then the rest will follow. Yeah, that didn't happen. North Iredell now sits at 5-7 after winning two games in a row, one of them on Wednesday, one of them on Friday. Tomorrow they take on Hickory to try and continue to push for those playoffs. Now, they're in an interesting spot where they have a few more games left on the schedule than everybody else in the area. I'm not going to say that it's possible for them, but I'm also not going to tell you that it's impossible for them to make the playoffs. Because if you win and the chips fall the right way, you never know. So start it tomorrow against Hickory. We'll continue to cover that. We'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow since they have a day in between their games. We just talked about West Iredell. They're taking on Statesville. Just looking for a feel-good win. It's been a tough baseball season for these schools in the area. I don't know how many are going to make the playoffs. I'm hoping a few. You know, we're going to have to find a new team to get behind here, and I'm sure we'll find one. And if you know someone who's had a really good year, call me up, 844-STUDIO-4. I know a little bit farther south of us, like South Mecklenburg has a really good baseball team this year down in Charlotte, but they don't quite reach us. Well, we don't quite reach them, I should say. So, you know, shout out to them, but who's going to hear it, really? South Iredell High School is the last team that we're going to talk about here. They won on Friday, and it was a big win. 2-0 against A.L. Brown to push their record to 10-7, 5-3 in the conference. And the reason that that's important, at 5-3 with the record that they have, they are actually in front of Lake Norman High School in the 4A Greater Metro standing. So we'll see what happens. Cox Mill is one of those teams, though, at the top of that bracket that I don't know how many teams are going to be able to beat them. Ninth best team in the state of North Carolina, 14-1 right now. They're going to be tough to beat come playoff time. But, you know, we got to get there first. Got to get there first. So for South Iredell, their next game tomorrow is against Mooresville, and then they play again on the road, though, this time against Mooresville. A game against Brandy's, and then they end their season with those two games against the best team in the division, and the ninth best team in the state of North Carolina, Cox Mill High School. Win those, and you're going to be poised to make a real good run in the playoffs. You're going to get a lot of confidence, and I'm not just talking about their positioning in the playoffs. Confidence goes a long way, and if you can beat one of the best teams in the state, even split one of two in the final two games of the season, all right. You're going to get some eyeballs on you. You're going to turn some heads, and the confidence is going to go through the roof. Let's get into lacrosse real quick before we move on to some of our other news stories of the day. Cannon School, Lake Norman, Huff, Community School of Davidson, Lake Norman Charter, All of those schools are within the listening range of WSIC. All five of those schools are in the top 25 in the state of North Carolina when it comes to high school lacrosse. Charlotte Catholic is the number one school in the state. Cannon, number two, and Lake Norman, number three. Lake Norman's 11-4 on their year, nationally ranked as well. They are 49th in the country, is Lake Norman. For Charlotte Catholic, by the way, the number one North Carolina-ranked team in the state. I should say the number one ranked team in the state of North Carolina. That was a little weird. Anyway, they are ranked 13th nationally. Whoo, boy. Now, when you look at that national ranking, seeing Charlotte Catholic, NC, at 13, and then Cannon at 18. A couple of North Carolina schools there showing up large. By the way, these rankings, as always, are coming from the Max Preps website. They have their own formula with how they rank their athletes, and we don't treat it as gospel because it's absolutely not. It's just a metric that we use to see what these teams are looking like on the year. And nationally, Cannon School, Charlotte Catholic, they're on the map. And that's really all you need to know. So congratulations to those schools having a really good year. I'm interested to see how far they go because not all of them are going to be able to win a state championship. So we'll see, but we got a long way to go. Another month or so before we get to that point. So we're going to continue to keep you updated. Same thing as we've been doing. When we get tennis updates, we'll give them to you. Women's soccer is something that we've been following as well over the past couple of weeks. I'm going to continue to talk about that and keep you updated where we are on the playoff race there. But that is your high school update for the day. After the weekend on this Monday, we have some games going on tonight. So if you know of your team taking on anybody, we talked about Mooresville. They got a baseball game today. Make sure you support those local high schools. All right, moving on from the high school rank. Let's get into the NBA. All right, the season is over. The dust has settled. We know who is playing who. We know where the play-in games are. And there was a little bit of movement on the West Coast in the final couple of games of the season. It was going to be number 10 Warriors playing number 9 LA, the Lakers. Not the Clippers, the Lakers. Well, in the final couple of days of the season, the Lakers actually jumped over the Kings in the standings, which means that the play-in games in the Western Conference right now, Warriors, Kings, Lakers, Pelicans. So, I've seen some interesting conversations about do the Lakers want to win their first playoff game? Why would we be asking that? Because if they do win their play-in game, they'll be matched up against the Nuggets. And the Lakers have lost 9 consecutive games against the Nuggets. Yeah, they're not going to want to play the Nuggets. But if you lose that game, you're playing the winner of the 9-10 game, the winner of Kings Warriors, for a shot to go to the playoffs, to the actual playoffs. Because I don't know, do we count the play-in games as playoff games? Like, I don't even know if the NBA counts the stats towards the playoffs, to be honest with you. It just kind of was a thing that they threw together during the COVID season, and it stuck. It was like, all right. We're just going to do this from now on. Anyway, we're not mad about the decisions to keep the play-in tournament. But the Kings and the Warriors are two teams that if they get hot, they could be a problem. And if I'm the Lakers, I don't know. Do you feel better winning your first game to then possibly get swept in the first round? Or would you rather lose that first play-in game and have to win the second play-in game to even make the playoffs? And even then, you're playing the Thunder, who are the best team in the West this year. Kind of a toss-up, if you ask me. I would never want to lose. Get in, get there and make the playoffs, because you never know what's going to happen. I don't know how many people expected the Lakers to, well, they were the one seed that year in the 2020 bubble year. But not many people saw the Nuggets winning a championship, and that happened. So you never know. And I mean, there's a lot of teams in the NBA this year who have a chance, mostly in the West, because the East, look, the play-in games are against teams with losing records. I don't think they should even be allowed to participate. Honestly, losing record in the NBA and you're in the playoffs? Come on now. Don't go anywhere. We're halfway through here on the Scoreboard. When we get back, we'll talk a little more NBA, then we'll get to the NHL. We're back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of the Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Second half of the show, just a little after 5:30. Hopefully everybody's drive home going smoothly. Man, are you rushing home for that WNBA draft? I will be. That's not a joke. I'm going to be watching it. That's going to be a great event, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the WNBA over the next few years. But we've talked enough about women's basketball over the past few weeks. Let's get into the NBA a little bit more, because on the other side of the break, we were talking about the play-in games, the Kings and the Warriors, Pelicans, Lakers in the East. 9 and 10 teams are the Bulls and Hawks. The 7-8 teams are the 76ers and the Miami Heat. The winner of the Sixers-Heat series will go to play the Knicks. The loser plays the winner of Bulls-Hawks, and whoever wins that consolation game, I guess you can call it, will have to go play the Boston Celtics, who are far and away the best team in the NBA this year. Now, I feel like I say that quite a bit. I feel like I said it last year and the year after that. Hey, the Celtics, best team in the East. Hey, the Celtics, who's going to be able to beat them? Well, it always turns out somebody's able to beat them. So I'm not going to make any predictions just yet. Let's get past the play-in games. Let's set the first round. They begin on Saturday, April the 20th. So on Friday, once the first round is set, well, we might not have the final game done, but it'll be against a one seed like it matters. The NBA parity is a little bit different than other leagues, and we can get into that one day. I watched a very interesting video about parity and chance and luck in sports. It's not the league that you would think that luck influences the results the most. We can get into that another day, though. We got other things that are more important to talk about, like the play-in tournament for the WNBA starting up tomorrow night. I don't know what to expect. Now, the one thing that I did see out of the NBA this year is that they set a record for average attendance. And average attendance was up 1.5% from last year, which is, you guessed it, the record that they set the year before. So, not what I expected, to be honest with you. I did not think that the NBA was going to be able to pull that many viewers this year. And they're saying that one of the things that rejuvenated the NBA and that attributed to some of these ranking changes or rating changes, I should say, is the in-season tournament. So NBA TV games on network are on pace for its best season since 2017-18. The in-person attendance is the best it's ever been for the NBA. So all positives, but still not quite what they were only, what, 5 years ago? I mean, it did not take long for the NBA to spiral and become one of the least popular sports in the U.S. And I do think a part of that has to do with those four straight years of Warriors versus the Cavaliers, man, were those not fun times. Every single year, we're going to play the season and it's still going to come down to the Warriors and the Cavaliers. It wasn't fun. It wasn't. And I will continue to say that, yes, it's nice to see a team dominate and we should respect greatness when we're in the presence of it, but man, is it not entertaining. Look no further than Formula One over the past 2 years. Is it fun to tune into the Formula One race knowing that the conclusion has already been figured out? The guy sitting on the pole is going to win the race. Even if Max Verstappen doesn't win the pole, he's going to win the race. Except the other day, a couple of weeks ago, when he blew an engine at Australia in the first couple of laps, and it was like, oh my goodness, we're going to have a different winner. Who would have thought? We'll talk more about the NBA, but man, I don't know what to expect. I feel like the Denver Nuggets are going to make another run, even though they didn't have the most incredible season of all time. They're solid. And how are you going to beat Jokic in the postseason? I don't know how you're going to do it. So tomorrow, the play-in games start for the NBA, and we're going to make sure that we cover that. We're actually going to turn to a league that's going to finish up this week. Final week of the regular season in the NHL. Now, some teams, including one team that is important in the Hurricanes chase, will actually end their season tonight. There are games in the NHL all the way through Thursday. Regular season games, that is. All the way through Thursday before we hit a break. And then I believe Sunday is when NHL playoffs start, but I haven't seen a specific date on that just yet. So tonight, the New York Rangers have a chance to secure the Metropolitan Division as well as the President's Trophy. And if you've been following along and you're not a hockey fan, maybe you've learned this over the time listening, the President's Trophy is the trophy that is awarded to the team with the best regular season record. Now, over the past 13 NHL seasons, the team that wins the President's Trophy has not gone on to win the Stanley Cup. Very interesting tidbit there. But with how many teams there are battling at the top of the NHL standings right now, you have the Rangers at 112. You have the Hurricanes at 111. Also, the Dallas Stars are at 111. Any one of those three teams could be the best team in the NHL this year. And then behind them, you have the Boston Bruins. Now, yeah, the math not be right if you're thinking like, yeah, they only have 109 points. You said everybody's got one game left. Well, hey, the Bruins are a team that have two games left. That's a possible of 4 points. That means they could get as many as 113 points on the season. If the Rangers, Hurricanes, and Stars all lose, well, guess what? Out of nowhere, the Boston Bruins become the best team in the NHL as long as they win their final two games of the regular season. See what I mean? How this is just free-flowing and anything could happen? Does it really matter this year? Now, I know not many of you are gluing your eyes to the TV in the NHL every single day. Any of these teams could have won the President's Trophy. The Rangers, the Hurricanes, Stars, all the way down even to the Jets, the Avalanche, the Oilers, if they didn't have that terrible start to the year, they would be, and the Oilers are the hottest team in the National Hockey League. If I'm in the Western Conference, I do not want to see them. Ever since that terrible start to the season they had, they dug out of that hole fairly quickly, and they've been good ever since then. Any one of those teams could have won the President's Trophy. Also, we could have as many as 14 teams with 100 points in the NHL this year. It's a weird year for hockey. You know what else is weird about this year for hockey? When you look at the stat book, Nikita Kucherov has 141 points in the NHL. Just for comparison, last year we had the most points in the NHL in like forever, since the 90s, really. It was Connor McDavid at 153. Yeah, Nikita Kucherov at 141. Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon at 138. McDavid's still up there with 130. Scoring in the NHL is skyrocketing. And the assist leaders in the NHL this year need to be mentioned. With only one or two games left in the season, Connor McDavid currently has 99 assists on the year. Nikita Kucherov, 98. They are only a couple away from 100 assists on the year. That's worth celebrating. So we'll wrap up the NHL on the other side of the segment, then we'll get into what happened in NASCAR over the weekend. Boy, Texas, when did you become an entertaining racetrack? Congratulations, we're proud of you. We'll be back on the scoreboard right after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of the scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's the scoreboard with your host, sports director Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
To the scoreboard, 844 Studio 4 is the phone number. Get you into the program. Saturday, April the 20th, the NHL playoffs will begin. I just found that looks like 12 o'clock is when that became official. Somewhere around there. Anyway, Saturday, NHL playoffs begin, and we're winding down the season. Now, here's what you need to know for the Carolina Hurricanes. Like I said before, they have a chance to steal away the one seed in the Metropolitan and the one seed in the NHL. I'm concerned about who they're going to play. Not concerned, but curious as to who they're going to play. If they finish second, more than likely they're going to be playing the New York Islanders. One of the hotter teams in the NHL this year, towards the end of the year, 7-2-1 in their final 10. They've really made this playoff push. And it is a real push right now for them. Then you also have behind them in wild card two, also eligible for Metropolitan spot three, are the Washington Capitals. Now, the funny thing about these teams in the wild card that are fighting for that final wild card spot, all of them have stunk recently. And I mean stunk. The Capitals, 3 wins, 5 losses, 2 overtime losses in their last 10. Detroit Red Wings, 3 wins, 4 losses, 3 overtime losses in their last 10 games. And then you have the Philadelphia Flyers, who were the third seed in the Metro for 85% of the year. 2 wins, 6 losses, and 2 overtime losses in their last 10 games. They went on a bad losing streak. They're turning it around now. They've won 2 games in a row. And then behind them, you have the Pittsburgh Penguins, the team that has been making a run for that final playoff spot. 7 wins, 1 loss, and 2 overtime losses in their last 10 games. Who's the hot team there? The Islanders and the Penguins. But with so few games left, the Flyers have 1 game remaining. They're going to need things to break their way. The Islanders, the Capitals, the Red Wings, and the Penguins all have 2 games left on the season. Some of them will be in action tonight, some throughout the rest of the week. But a reminder, Thursday, the final day of the NHL regular season, playoffs begin Saturday. Now, I don't know if Carolina will play Saturday. We've yet to get that far in planning for the playoffs. We don't even know who they're going to play, right? We don't know if they're going to be the 1 seed. We don't know if they're going to be the 2 seed. We don't know anything yet. All we know is they're going to the playoffs. That is the only thing we know. And they'll have home ice in game in round one. So big games tonight. Make sure you tune in to the NHL if you're interested to see what's going to happen to those Hurricanes coming into Saturday. Now we get into what happened over the weekend with the NASCAR Cup Series. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All I have to say is the Cup Series was not the most exciting race of the weekend. And you know what? Honestly, it never really is. The trucks, as embarrassing as they are sometimes with how much they crash, they are still at times a lot more entertaining than the Cup Series, as well as the Xfinity Series. And boy, oh boy, did the Xfinity Series prove its worth on Saturday. One of the best finishes of the season, probably of the past 10 years, honestly. The only thing that I can think that's beaten that is the three-wide Atlanta finish that we had earlier this year. This is the second race in the NASCAR season where the interval was 2/1,000ths of a second at the line. Sam Mayer, Ryan Sieg battling it out in the final lap. Mayer making the pass. Sieg battling back. And man, it was a toenail. I mean, it was a toenail that got Sam Mayer the win. Now, the cars aren't different, but if you remember back when DW was announcing and they had that photo finish at Darlington with Ricky Craven, Kurt Busch, the kick out on the nose of the Pontiac is what won him the race. Well, there was no kick out on the nose of the Toyota here. They're the exact same car with a different sponsor logo on them. Let's be very honest about that. The reason he won, I don't know. He kind of got lucky. I thought he was going to wipe out going into 3 and 4. But no, he held on to it. See, couldn't get back. And this brought up an interesting question for me. And I don't think that this has ever happened before in NASCAR. I know it's happened in the FIA with Formula One and some of their other series that they govern. What if it was ruled a dead heat at the line? What if we actually had a Cars-style, Lightning McQueen, last-ditch effort, they tied. What would the ruling be? I don't know. I would like to think that they do like a three-lap shootout or something like that. You know, you can't end a race in a tie. Do they both get credit for first? Do they both get credit for second? I don't know. But that's what happened in the Xfinity Series. Man, was it exciting. The Cup Series. Man, Texas put on a show. It did, and it wasn't the drivers. Let's be completely honest here. It was not the drivers putting on the show. It was the track. Because the track is so bad that when you try to actually race somebody side by side in 3 and 4, you wreck. How many times did the second place car wreck out of second? Huh? They said it on the broadcast. 4 times. 4 times. You can't race there. It's racing, but it's not racing. You're just going and hoping. And there was a little bit of passing going on, but I don't seem to remember a single on-track pass for the lead. I only remember restarts, and that might just be because I only remember towards the end of the race, and there were no passes for the lead. It was all on the restarts. Who got the better restart? That's what it was. But the race was interesting. There was a lot going on. You had to keep up with where your driver was. The strategy was playing out. It was all over the place, but I still don't like Texas as a track. I don't, because you can't pass. And yeah, we all love watching a guy go side by side for the lead and they're driving it so hard that they wreck. But when everybody's doing that, it tells me it's a little bit more than the driver being over aggressive. You know, Michael McDowell spins out of the lead. Okay. You know, we don't expect Michael McDowell to be the best wheel man on the track. But Bubba Wallace and Denny Hamlin spinning out of second place while battling for the lead, that'll get your eyes perked up a little bit. I don't know if they're ever going to fix it. I don't know. Texas is just a bad track, and I don't know what you do. I don't know if it's as simple as give the guys horsepower, because the track is just that bad. And it stinks that we have to talk about a race that was entertaining in this way, because we know at the end of the day, it wasn't entertaining because of the racing, it was entertaining because the track stinks and because the drivers couldn't drive it. This has been a problem since day one of Texas. Day one of Texas. And, you know, the track probably has a curse on it because you close down North Wilkesboro Speedway to go to this big fancy new track in Texas and nobody likes it. There's a big bump. There's multiple bumps all over the place. You go there for the first time ever. Everybody goes off into turn one and half of them come out. It's been a problem since race number one at Texas Motor Speedway. But yet they still go back there because NASCAR just, they can't be wrong. Speedway Motorsports, they just can't be wrong. Last piece of information I'll give you before we move into this day in sports history. Big congratulations to Scotty Scheffler, winner of the Masters. And yeah, he ran it. He ran away with it. He did. Now, Tiger Woods made the cut, and that was awesome. But remember what I talked about fatigue and playing four rounds of golf at Augusta, where it's a lot of walking. That course is, it doesn't look like it, but you look at it objectively and you say, that's an interesting course to have to walk. Well, the weekend didn't go good for Woods. He started the weekend at plus one, which wasn't terrible, but he ended the weekend at plus 16. Oof. Well, at least he made the cut. He broke some records, most consecutive cuts made in the Masters, and the highest round he's ever shot in the Masters. That one was on Saturday. I just thought that was a little interesting. Not making fun of anyone, just having some fun. This day in sports history, you know it, the big one. Jackie Robinson became the first African-American to play in U.S. Major League Baseball. That was on this day in 1947. Happy Jackie Robinson Day to everyone. Go watch some baseball. It should be a baseball holiday today. Honestly, it should. But I don't make the rules around here. What I can tell you is I'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. We're going to preview a lot of NHL and NBA playoffs coming up. So be ready for that. Until then, have a nice night, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.